And even though we do have a funding agreement in place with the sheriff, if something happened like that, I mean, you know, we can enter agreements in the best of faith, but when things like this would happen, no one would have anticipated that at the onset of a funding agreement. And I think it would take a conversation and a partnership even with, you know, even with him. I mean, I think that would, and I don't think that's unreasonable. I mean, Chip has been on, you know, he did spend a couple of years on this side of the equation as well. You know, it's not just been city law enforcement and county law enforcement. I mean, he's been on our side, and you can't anticipate all the variables at the beginning of some of these.
Well, and I agree with that, Commissioner Berry.
So, the Escambia County Commission, during a kind of a budget-ish discussion last week, and talking about the property tax issue, if the state actually does eliminate homestead property taxes, the $79 million hit to the budget, about $4 million to the library as well, and what that would mean for them. And in that conversation, Mike Kohler had mentioned that obviously constitutional officers, that's your, you know, clerk and your election supervisor and your sheriff, everybody who you elect independently and doesn't have their own ability to set a budget like the school board or ECUA, that those people are going to, you know, they're going to be part of the cuts as well. Well, the sheriff is in the middle of, I think, a 3-year deal right now. And Stephen Barry and Mike Kohler seem to think, well, he's a reasonable guy. He used to work for them. well, at least for Stephen Barry, as the assistant county administrator. So he'll understand that the terms need to change. Now, this is a lot of if. But, you know, obviously we have to think about this because we're looking at a special session right now and then what would happen eventually. Joining us now, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I just wanted to get your reaction. I assume you guys have also been considering all of this and the varying messages. Would it be possible, you know, could law enforcement get cut? Would increases that don't happen, would that constitute a cut? And the deal that you're in with the Escambia County Commission. And I wanted to give you a chance to comment, respond, whatever you think.
Well, I mean, obviously, things can change. I think at this point, we are still in a budget agreement with
three years,
county. 3 years, right? Yeah. We're in year one, I guess, of that agreement. And as of right now, we don't know what's going to happen with the property tax. There were a couple of bills in the House and a couple in the Senate, and I think just one in the House made it, but nothing made it through. That's why there's a special session. We don't know what the governor's going to do. I do think that it's prudent to start looking ahead. What ifs? You know, we always do that. We always plan ahead, and we've done that internally as well. And while I certainly understand if you enter into an agreement and all of a sudden there's no money, something has to change. To Commissioner Berry's point, I do understand that. However, I would hope that there would be some alternative funding source for public safety. I happen to think that the sheriff's office, ambulance service, fire are top priority, and that the Board of County Commission will find a way to fund it at the existing or the certainly fulfill the 3-year budget deal. But if you ask me if I understand that if all of a sudden there's a cut to the budget, that things have to change, we have to reevaluate things, I do understand that. I mean, I'm not crazy. But regardless of what you hear.
I don't hear that. But yeah, and I just obviously a lot of this is sort of planning for the future and hypothetical what if. But I tend to think politically it would be almost, I mean, it would be very, very bad for them to come out with public safety cuts. But then again, you know, I mean, if big chunks of your budget go away, something has to give. And that's kind of the point that they're trying
to make. Well, and again, part of the reason why I believe it did not pass so far is because there was a lot of concern about that, about public safety cuts and about different things. There were some bills that had carve outs for law enforcement that they couldn't be cut. However, if you don't increase the budget, then you're basically cutting services because costs are going up. But I think that.
Well, and even your deal has a stair step. I mean, your deal is more every year.
But because the cost of insurance and the cost of Florida retirement system, all these things that are out of our control, quite frankly, there are some additions. And I would just remind everyone that while I feel like the Board of County Commissioners and I, we worked on this in earnest and it was a good thing. We're not getting the pay raises that the Highway Patrol was getting. We weren't getting the pay raises that the Florida Department of Law Enforcement are getting this past couple of years either. So I think it was a fair deal. I think it's certainly working for our recruiting. We have, I was meeting with representatives from Ashley Moody's office last week, and we were talking about the fact that we don't really have a recruiting issue right now. We have had three vacancies in the sworn side, and we have about 40 people on the list. So it's working out very well. So my point is, we've never been in a better position than we are now as a sheriff's office, but we always take a look at the future and try to plan for what lies ahead.
Anything else out of that meeting with the senator that you want to mention that was, you know?
Well, the discussion there was with his chief of domestic policy, and the name escapes me right now,
okay.
But it's a Bia is who we met with. But anyways, we were talking about what they could do.
Okay.
Senator Ashley Moody has always done a good job, and so has Senator Scott, of asking what can we do for you. Mm-hmm. We talked about sovereign immunity. We talked about supporting law enforcement. We talked a little bit about ICE. We talked a little bit about everything. And I just wanted to make sure that they understood locally. We appreciate the support on the federal side, just like we would on the state side.
You know, we don't like to use that Q word, but a relatively low level of high profile incidents in the last week. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah. No, I took a look at our the unusual reports that might have surfaced, and there's
pink hair, tongue out. Is that the big story?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the stories, I guess. Yeah. You know, we deal with a variety of people on a daily basis, and sometimes these individuals are not afraid to fight law enforcement. In this particular case, that's what this guy said, is I'm not afraid to get a charge, which means he's, you know, he's coherent enough to say, I know what I'm about to do, and I know there'll be a charge, and I'm willing to accept that. And he did. So he punched our deputy and broke one of our deputy's glasses, ended up taking the charge that he
yeah.
was foreseeing. And now I'm assuming he's still in jail.
This is Marcus Allen. This is the guy who allegedly hit the cop. Well, you say he did. I know I take your word for it. As they were trying to apprehend him, this is the crazy red hair, dreadlocks, and the tongue sticking out guy. And his, do people perform a lot for that? I mean, no, you don't. I know you don't run the jail, but you used to kind of, you know, you were the supervisor over that part. You kind of read before you were the sheriff. Okay, when you worked at the county.
Yes.
And you worked in the jail for a long time. Do people perform for their mugshots a lot? Is that a common thing?
Some people that just, you know, that have been there a time
enough
or two
times, yeah.
and they understand that this is a photo shoot and they take advantage of that. Yeah.
I'm just like, show me the pouty face. Show me the, like,
they understand it's going to be out in the public.
It's going to be there.
And they
so,
might as well
right.
make the most of it, their opportunity.
We also had, Pensacola Beach, you had what, one arrest? I mean, things are quiet pretty much on the beach, right? For the spring break is almost over or mostly over.
It's mostly over. There's a couple of colleges from Louisiana that are still having their spring break. But, yeah, I talked to Lieutenant Barnes, who's over the beach, yesterday, and we talked about, you know, they did have some large crowds. There seems to be this thing where these teenagers, and by teenagers, I mean 13, 14, 15-year-olds.
Who cannot drive?
That's right. They get dropped off, or they get to catch rides with their grown-up peers. Or more grown-up peers.
Wait, I understand going with your 16-year-old buddy, but parents are dropping their teenagers off at impromptu gatherings at Pensacola Beach?
Yes, that's what they're telling me, yes.
What parent?
Because my question to them...
What parent does this?
Well, parents are a strong word. I will tell you that there are... You know, I was asking, I said, where are they parking? Because, you know, it's a gridlock,
yeah.
even in later afternoon on Pensacola Beach. And they said, well, then parents or neighbors or individuals drop them off, and then they don't have to park. They just drive away and come back a couple hours later. That's what some of them do. Some of them, obviously, will drop them off and then find a place to park a lot farther down the road. And so those are the issues that we have been dealing with. But we have had...
Pensacola Beach is like the new mall.
It is. There are people that want to make it with regards to that teen hangout place. Which, again, there's nothing illegal about
nothing
hanging
right,
out.
Right.
There's no problem with that. I will tell you, though, and you know, if you're listening to this, you're gonna judge what I say. But I'm telling you, you may judge what I say, or you probably agree with it. If you're dropping off your teens, or if you don't know where your teens are going on a Friday night, Saturday night, and you're aware of some of these teen takeover type operations throughout the state, not just here, or throughout the country, really, then you're part of the problem. I think you've got to pay attention to where your kids are going. It was true in the 70s and 80s and 90s. It's certainly true now because there are videos of what they're wanting to do is get into a large parking lot, large area. They video themselves dancing on cars and doing different things. We haven't had that over last weekend, but we did have that the first weekend of spring break. And we have over probably double the deputies that we typically would have to prevent any kind of disruption of businesses or fights or anything worse.
I know you can see it on my face. I'm just in disbelief that the parent of a 14-year-old, you know, gets asked, hey, can you take me out to the beach? Well, why? No big deal. Just take me out there. A bunch of friends are going to the beach. Am I just leaving you there? Yeah, just leave me there. What are y'all doing? Oh, it's an outdoor rave. Oh, okay. Here we go.
Well, again, there's two things.
What is wrong with you?
It's not always the parents. There are some parents. Okay, there are grown-ups.
Right, but
I get that
the 17-year-olds are stupid. Okay, I get that. I mean, I was 17. I get it. It's the parent part. I just can't believe parents are, you know, all right, hop in the minivan. You got any friends who want to go? Like,
well, I mean, I also would encourage them to ask the questions. Where are you going? Who are you going with? And what are you going to be doing? Because you better not end up on some TikTok video dancing on the hood of a car at not just the beach, at the mall or wherever you may be going.
Okay.
These are just some of the things that we have to deal with.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go home and sit with this one for a while. Meanwhile, in other sort of good news, you have put a wrap up on one of your vans, I guess. Is this a patrol van? What is this exactly?
We know our honor guard does quite a bit of traveling. Whenever there's an officer that loses their life in our region or in the state of Florida, we will send a crew to up there as well. In fact, our honor guard will be going to both Tallahassee and to the Washington Memorial, because we're adding Deputy Jeremy Cassidy to the wall in both the state and to the National Memorial. So they'll be driving soon. It's the van that they had.
So it literally is the Honor Guard van that has now been wrapped with Honor Guard.
That's the only people that will be using it. That's
got
correct.
It. Okay.
And the so they wanted it to look like an Honor Guard vehicle, and also to pay tribute to those who have paid that ultimate sacrifice. And the foundation, Scambia County Sheriff Foundation, has decided that, hey, we'll wrap that. We'll pay for that wrap. And if you look at the van now, it's not just a white van. It is a what I consider a beautiful honor and tribute to those who've paid that ultimate sacrifice.
It is.
In fact, on the back of it, it's got the names and the date or the year at which they lost their life for their community. So we're certainly thankful for the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation. Again, no tax dollars were used on this wrap, although I think that the community would say, I think that to pay honor and tribute to our deputies, that would be fine. However, the foundation, they raise money, and they have two things. They want to help with our engagement, the Blazer Academy, and our movie nights, but they also provide support for the employees as well. And in this case, they have paid for, not the first wrap that they paid for, they pay for the wrap that we put on a Corvette that we seized also. And they pay for a number of things that they just don't brag about.
Last thing, Cops, Cars, and Crawfish coming up this weekend.
Speaking of the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation, their largest and greatest fundraiser will be this weekend. It's going to be at Five Flags Speedway, and it will start. We'll have a car show, and we'll also have, obviously, crawfish. Cars and cops will be there because there's a car show. So you can show up. Even if you haven't registered yet, you can show up early that morning. You can look on the website, and it'll give you the information on exactly how to either register early or to show up on Saturday morning. I looked at the weather. It's supposed to be beautiful. You can come out there, and you can see as many cops as you want. You can see as many, you know, we have our canines out there. A lot of our vehicles will be out there. The van that we just spoke of will be out there. And again, just be a fabulous time. Cubs Crawfish will be selling the crawfish plates for you. And it's just, again, a start of the summer, and it is a wonderful event.
Outstanding. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir. Thank you for the time. Thanks for educating the audience. Thanks for keeping us safe. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.